Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's starting to feel like cavalcade of stars around here with all these superstar women this week so far. And that cavalcade of stars continues this hour with our good friend, and I do mean our good friend, Rose Sweet. Hi, Rose. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, Si. That was very sweet.
Really?
Yes, very sweet.
You are aware that I do not believe that you were named Rose Sweet from birth, that at some point you changed your name to Rose Sweet.
No, you know what? God intended me to get holy, and I have to live up to this name, and it's not always easy.
I'm sure it's not. I'm not going to make it easy on you this hour. I know I can be somewhat exasperating for you, but I'm not going to mention sandwiches or anything this hour. Our number, by the way, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Rose is the author of a whole bunch of books. Rose is, of course, as many of you know, an expert on divorce and annulment, and has done a great deal in ministry in that area. As a matter of fact, I was going to say a DVD set, but when you made it, it was a video set, right? Or was it a DVD set at the time? Was it VHS?
It wasn't VHS, but it was DVD.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Wow, that was rude. She had a DVD set that has been used in parishes all around the country, as a matter of fact, on ministering and helping those who have suffered through divorce. But Rose, you name go ahead and name all the books in the series you're doing right now, because you're doing this really great series, but I don't want to mess it up.
Well, thank you. It's called The Catholic Woman's Guide to series, and there are four little adorable hardcover books.
Yes.
They're fun and they're light, but there's a lot of meat in them, a lot of spiritual meat. And the first one is A Woman's Guide to Happiness, and we're going to be talking about that today. The second one is A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. The one that just came out a couple months ago is A Catholic Woman's Guide to Relationships, and I'm working on the last one now and having so much fun. It's on temperaments, the classic four temperaments. So that'll probably be out later this year.
Are you, let me think, phlegmatic is the only one I know. So I'm going to just say, are you phlegmatic?
Oh, are you kidding me? No, you're phlegmatic.
I'm phlegmatic.
You're the easygoing, steady, kind, amiable, loyal, steadfast.
Oh, this is the best guest we've ever had. This is the best guest. Rose, can we do Rose every day?
You're the one that holds the whole world together. Even when everybody at Catholic Answers Live is running around with their heads going exploding, you keep everything together. That's the phlegmatic.
Well, so what are you? Which temperament are you?
I'm the opposite. I'm the one that's barking orders and telling you to move faster.
You are that person. What's the name of that? What is the name of that?
I can't tell you because then I'd have to kill you.
Oh, all right. Rose Sweet is our guest. She's now my favorite guest of all time. 888-318-7884 is the number. So you mentioned that the first book in the Catholic Woman's Guide to series is Happiness. Do you think women are unhappy right now?
Oh, yeah. Not just right now, but pretty much all the time. That is our fallen nature. And you're supposed to ask me, why do you think women are so unhappy?
Why do you think women... See, you are kind of bossy. Why do you think women are so unhappy, Rose?
And see, you're so obedient and amiable. I just love that. We're a good team.
Yeah.
So here's the answer, Si. We have a software program running in the back of our mind at every minute.
Okay.
It's a list of, if the car will start, I'll be happy. If my jeans will fit, I'll be happy. If the coffee's hot, I'll be happy. You know, if the traffic is light on my way to work, I'll be happy. If I get there and my boss is gone, I'll be happy. If the clients are, you know, all happy, I'll be happy. If my husband does everything that he says, I'll be happy. If my kids do everything, I'll be happy. If my hair turns out today the way I want it, I'll be happy. If Father gives a good homily today at Mass, I'll be happy. So it's just, it's constant. This list is huge. We have predetermined how the whole world should be so that we'll be happy. And when things don't go our way, we go through, okay, how can I fix it? How can I adjust it? How can I pressure him? How can I pressure her? What can I do to get it back to where I can be happy? That's why I wrote this first book on happiness, because the desire for happiness is so basic and so huge. It's really what controls us all day long. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think that's even Aristotle would say that the human being is that creature that's constantly looking for what will make them happy, and then Augustine said we never get it until we get God. But yeah, I would agree with that. Although I don't recognize the script part. You're saying that women have a script that men might, because I'm thinking, well, what makes me happy? And I'm like, if the Celtics win, I'm happy. If my wife's happy, I'm happy. I want those two things, the Celtics to win and my wife to be happy.
Okay. And then if your wife isn't happy and they lose, what are you going to do?
I usually find something good to eat.
Okay. See, you are adaptable. The phlegmatic adapts to the situation. There you go. I scream and yell and, you know, kill people. So not really.
All right. So what?
It's the same. Men and women are the same.
Okay.
Really, in that regard.
Okay.
Our lists are different.
Yeah, that's right. Our lists are different. Yes. Right. As a matter of fact, the top of men's list is women, and then everything else comes after that.
So when things don't go our way and we feel that we don't have any control, the reason we fall into happiness that's not just temporary, you know, a temporary disappointment, is because we lack maturity. We lack virtue. We're self-centered. We're afraid to go to the cross. We're afraid of being without. We're afraid of suffering. And ultimately, we don't trust God. We don't trust that He's going to see us through any kind of unhappiness, that He will enlighten us, He will console us, and He will be on that cross with us. And so it all comes back down to our Catholic faith is the one that can feed us and strengthen us and get us back on the happiness train.
888-318-7884 is the number. Rose Sweet is our guest. I have to say, Rose, it strikes me that the young women I know, among the young women I know, and I have two young adult daughters, and so I know their circle, there seems to be some way in which the world it almost seems set up to terrorize young women right now. Like there are young women who are deeply unhappy because of how worried they are about global warming. And so like, it's like the world is just adding things to their list, you know, like, and not bad things, but it's very intense, you know, like I can't be happy because there's global warming. I can't be happy because I have white privilege. I can't be happy because it seems almost cruel what we're laying on young women. And I say young women because the young men I experience, they might have the same list, but they're playing video games and skating. Like they're zoning out, and it seems
they're escaping.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, it is cruel. Except that cruelty is nothing new. It surely is intensified since I was born in the last few decades, and especially now. But God is the answer. Our faith is the answer to that. If we constantly listen to those voices about global warming and all the other things, you know, you better not get married because you'll just end up in divorce and it's not worth it. And
right.
all those horrible burdens that young women and even old women are being fed, will fall into despair. And we are. And that's because we've lost our vision of Christ. We've lost our vision of hope and love and light that God has always offered us. But the lights have gone out there, and our heads have been turned. You know, we're looking away from God. We're looking at all these horrible things going on. And somebody needs to snap us out of it.
Yeah, but it's almost like a trap, because I think a lot of them feel like if I snap out of it, well, isn't that just another sign of my privilege? Or isn't that a sign that I don't care about, you know, what's happening to Mother Earth? Or so they can't even free themselves from it and go, I'm going to trust in God, because there's the pressure there is no, you must be this woke creature.
Well, here's the problem with I must trust in God. And we could kind of go back to the quote you said, that only in God do we find happiness or joy. That's not really true in a certain sense. And don't cut this show off. I know. When your team wins, do you have joy and happiness?
Oh boy, do I. Yeah.
Yeah. When your wife is happy, are you happy?
Yeah.
So it isn't in God alone that we find happiness and joy. We find it in the created world and in our relationships and in the beauty of sunsets and music and cold beer. Those are good joys, but they are what I call joys with a little J. Happiness with a little H. They're little joys. They're lesser forms of happiness that don't last and don't completely satisfy. So if we lose them, you know, we lose our bearing. When we have the highest level of happiness, the highest level of joy, and that's clear in our mind, and we're rooted in that, the little joys can come and go, and we don't lose ourselves. We don't fall into despair. So yes, God alone brings the highest, most enduring, most perfect form of the happiness that we were made for and that we desire. But there's a lot of other good stuff here on the earth that he wants us to enjoy, but not be so attached to. And that's the other big concept in the Catholic principles in spiritual life is attachment. We find these other little H's and little J, joy and happiness things, and we attach fiercely to them, and we make them our God, our center. And then we're terrified, you know, if we lose them or if somebody takes them. So it's all about, and this is what I love about my basic little book on happiness is enjoy these goods, find your happiness every day in your cup of coffee or your nice jeans that fit just right today or whatever it is. But always keep in mind the big picture. This is not our home. You were created by God, for God. He's wooing you. He's calling you. He's loving you. He's equipping you to get through this dark, horrible time and this world, and he's not going to abandon you. And things are going to be tough sometimes. They're going to be worse than tough. They're going to be unfair, and they're going to be evil. But you, with God by your side, can endure. This is the message of our Catholic faith, of our Christian faith. And we're not preaching that. We're not preaching that as much as we should.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. Our guest is Rose Sweet, and you are welcome to call to get in on this conversation any way you would like. 888-318-7884. You most certainly don't have to be a Christian person to call. If you are not, but something about what Rose has said interests you, you are always welcome here. We asked Rose Sweet during this week where we're doing some counter-programming for some of the programming we have invited brilliant women, faithful Catholic women, to come and talk with us about really those things that do actually bring us genuine happiness. When the world, we know as the Roe versus Wade anniversary approaches, the world will be celebrating things that do not make us happy and will be presenting an image of liberation and empowerment that does not liberate or empower anyone. And who better to have on to talk about these things than Rose Sweet? We asked her, Rose, talk about why women are unhappy. And she came here and talked to us about how to be happy. 888-318-7884.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
How should we pray? The disciples asked our Lord that question, and he gave them the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. But he also gave them the liturgy, which is the most privileged form of prayer in the Catholic tradition, especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We can pray with the whole church in the liturgy of the hours, or the Divine Office, and we should also pray in our own private room, our secret chamber, as Jesus says, and then our Father who sees us in secret will reward us.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. One of the consequences of living in a society that is pretty much devoted to lying to us about what it is to be a human being and what are the values by which human beings should live, is that a lot of us are unhappy. A lot of us are struggling, suffering things, upsets, worries, anxieties, depressions, and spiritual confusions that that God doesn't want us to be suffering, and that there are cures for. I'm certainly not saying that everything is cured by right thinking, but I am saying that the more we are led astray by our society, the more we need wise people to help draw us back to those things that truly make us happy. And that's what we're talking about this hour. If you are suffering from unhappiness yourself and you'd like to hear what the Catholic Church has to say about finding happiness, 888-318-7884, our number. Rose Sweet, our guest. Again, the number 888-318-7884. I guess I can go back to maybe just I was mentioning the church and our faith, but how does the church play a role in us finding happiness?
Well, the church is our mother. I always love to say that. That's not an old and ancient tradition. That is really the truth. She guides us. She leads us. The Catholic Church has preserved and passed on the truth of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of why we're here and why we're created, and so we won't get lost. The church protects us from error. She gives us tools, and she even gives us witnesses, saints living and dead, who are here to guide us and help us. You know, I know a lot of people, especially when I work with people who are divorced and their whole family falls apart, they automatically run to the church, even though they may not have set foot in one for decades, because they know intuitively there's something there. The church has something that's healing and hope-filled. And that's true. And I know you know this. The most important thing the church does for us is she opens the door and says, come here. Jesus is here.
Yeah.
He's waiting in the confessional. He wants to hear you. He wants to see you. He wants to love you. He wants to give himself to you in Holy Communion. He wants to pour out his graces on you in the sacrament of the sick. He wants to witness as you marry each other. In all the seven sacraments, we have these intimate, real encounters with God become man, God become flesh. This is real stuff, and it changes you. And we don't know how, but it does. And there are millions and millions of us who can testify to this. That's good news.
That is good news. 888-318-7884 is our number. You know, when you were saying that, unfortunately, the doors have been closed a lot this year. But just this Saturday, you know, my parish, all the priests go outside on Saturday morning now and hear outdoor confessions. And I'm so grateful to those priests for doing that, because this is like you mentioned the sacraments, these are keys to happiness. And it's hard to describe to someone who either doesn't believe in the sacrament of forgiveness or has never experienced it, the happiness that comes when you're done talking to that priest and he absolves you.
There's nothing like it to be able to hear it and feel it, especially with when a priest will lay his hands on your head. It's wonderful. You know, we forget, though, that there have been many holy men and women who were deprived of the sacraments, living in faraway countries, no priests, they were in prison. So we can still be happy without the sacramental presence of God. God is beyond, he's available to us beyond the sacraments. I mean, that's the highest and most beautiful, fulfilling experience of him, but he never abandons us. I'll never forget, I heard the story of one man who was a POW, prisoner of war, for 5 years, and he was in this dirt floor, and every day he was beat and tortured, and he barely had any food, and the only company he ever had was a spider in the corner of his cell. And he was bitter and miserable for a long, hate-filled, for a long time, but the graces of his baptism, he eventually called out to the Lord. And one day he had a conversion and he was completely changed in his cell. And he became so intimate and so close to the Lord. It was mind blowing. And this is the God that we have that says, no, even when the church is closed, I'm here. I see you. I hear you. I love you. I want to make you happy. And I want to add, Cy, God doesn't want us to suffer. That's his ideal will, his perfect will, but he sure allows it.
I've noticed
that. He allows us to suffer. He allows us to suffer because through the suffering, he can bring us more intimately close to him and grow us up and change us and bring great good out of suffering. So just today, and I'm not going to name any names, but there was somebody in my life who I'm suffering with. And I think it was grace that made me think, Lord, let me unite this suffering with yours and not be all whiny about it.
Was it Assistant Producer Marie?
No, what, it was you. No.
I think it was Marie. I'm not trying to call you out, Marie, but I think, no. I'm just kidding. Let's go. Should we go to the phone?
Yeah. Do we have calls?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't do any good to go to the phone if you don't, Rose. We're going to call people and ask them for questions.
I don't know these things. 888-318-7884,
the number. Juan in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Go ahead. You're first up, Juan. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Rose Sweet.
Hi.
Hi, Juan.
Thank you, Ms. Sweet, for speaking with us. And I appreciate you having her on the radio. I was just calling because... I saw that your book is mainly geared towards women, or what you're talking about seems to be geared towards women, but I'm seeming to learn a lot about this too, and it's of interest to me in particular, I guess, because in my last relationship was very serious, lasted about 1 year and 9 months, and I had an interesting time, making my girlfriend happier, like feeling like, she was basing a lot of her happiness based on what I did or how I behaved or what I acted on and didn't act on. And we had conversations about it and kind of, we're both very strong Catholics, and I kind of reinforced how, it's important to kind of base our happiness on Christ and the church more than just on what people do or what goes right or wrong. And it was a big challenge. From your perspective, I wanted to ask basically what's the man's role in a woman's life, I guess, and in a partner's life. We were thinking about getting married. Unfortunately, that did not pan out, but what is the man's role in a relationship to the woman in achieving her happiness or helping her be happy?
Okay. All right, Juan. Thank you. Rose?
That's a great question. And we love when you ask those questions. And Juan, let me go back. It was my publisher who insisted, because more women buy these kind of books, that we call it the Catholic Woman's Guide. But really, and Sai can attest to this, what's in the books is for everybody. This is universal longing for happiness, universal longing for healthy relationships. So your role is to read up and learn and understand women as much as you can. And to, as St. Paul said, to the best of your ability to live in peace with a woman. And ultimately, you are to love her as Christ loves the church. Now, those are words, and we know what that means. But that means you're willing to not compromise and to be willing to suffer for her greater good. And that may mean, and I don't know about your relationship, but to love a woman properly and suffer for her greater good may mean to break up with her when the relationship isn't going well or she's trapped in an inappropriate or healthy response pattern. I'll never forget many years ago after I was divorced and I was panicking and I just needed to find a guy again. And I ran out there and I just wanted to, I went out on a date and this man, God loving me, goes, man, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, you're charming, but you are not ready for a relationship. So call me in about 3 years. And I was crushed, but at the same time, I knew he was right. So loving other people doesn't necessarily mean going all the way to marriage or even remaining friends. And these are some of the hard truths that I've had to learn the hard way too. Authentic love is on a much higher level. Does that make sense, Juan?
Yes, it does. And I think that rang true, I guess, for our relationship. But thank you for kind of giving me that response. I think I had an intuition that might be it, you know. So I might go out and get that book. Yeah, read up.
Oh, yes, you can get it.
I would love it. I'd love it. Yes, yes, yes.
The publisher is?
Tan
books. And it's called Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness. But you should get all of them. Just get the whole set, Juan.
No, get the relationships. Get the romance.
Get it all. Yeah. That thing that happened to you, the exact same thing happened to me, except the woman didn't say anything about being beautiful, intelligent, or charming. She just said, you're not ready for a relationship. Rose Sweet is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. Right back.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about women's happiness this hour and only men calling. That's okay, because men are very concerned about helping women to be happy. But if you are a woman, a young woman, middle-aged woman, old woman, still a girl, not quite a woman yet, you're always welcome to call 888-318-7884. All men are also welcome to call. Rose Sweet has a wonderful book called The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness. All this week, we've invited women on to counter-program what the culture has to say about what makes women happy. Rose is an expert on that, I know, because she's super happy. Whenever you're around Rose, you just know that she is happy. That's true, don't you?
Thanks,
you are happy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am very happy.
Took a while, though, right?
Yeah, and you know what? It was because my eyes were on other things first and not on the Lord.
Right.
And that has made all the difference.
888-318-7884. The number up next is Jonathan in New Jersey, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Jonathan, go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you so much for discussing this topic. So my girlfriend suffers from anxiety and depression. She is seeking help from a counselor and has my unconditional support through this journey. She has difficulty trusting in God because she says she cannot see nor hear God anywhere. We are faithful, practicing Catholics. What can I continue to do to help my girlfriend see the beauty of life in the midst of the struggles of life?
God bless you, Jonathan.
Wow, that's a beautiful desire of the heart. You're already halfway there. You have the desire to love her rightly. And that's the thing is encourage her to get help. You can't be her therapist. You can't be her doctor. You can't be her spiritual director, but you can encourage her, live your own life the best you can as a good Catholic man, and hold high standards for yourself, and help to hold high standards for her. And encourage her to go higher the best she can, and to be patient with her and love her, and pray for her, and discern carefully. There, you know, I've worked with broken marriages and broken families and broken people for so long, and I have been one myself. We're not, and here we are back on marriage. The ultimate beautiful holy communion that man and woman can enter into is marriage, but some people are either not ready for it or deeply wounded and are not able to enter into it right now. So please, in addition to praying and loving her, go get some professional help for yourself. I would advise a good spiritual director or Catholic therapist or coach for you, to make sure that you love her the best you can. And I just love that I love that the men are calling in. This is makes my heart glad as a woman.
Jonathan, what do you think?
I agree 100%. I am also, like, I have my own spiritual director and close friends and family members that I go to about this as well. We are also seeking, like, couples counseling as well, just because it has been, like, a lot that we've been going through. She has come from, like, a very broken family. The relationship with her and her parents, not the best, mainly because father wasn't there as much, and mother just don't have that good relationship. And so just because of all the things that's been going on, it's just been like weighing down on her, and just been very difficult. And then like the pandemic doesn't really help much either. But most importantly, no. I just strive to just guide her to the Lord, always continue to pray for her, as you said, and just striving to be the man that God called me to be for her and for everyone I encounter.
Well, and be of good hope. There are, you know, often in the midst of depression, one of the cruelest things about depression is the sense that it will never end, that it can never end, that this is, and that is not the case. People do recover from depression. Right. And I would just recommend a book to you, Aaron Cariotti's book, The Catholic Guide to Depression. It is a magnificent and helpful book. And one of the things that I love about being Catholic, Rose, is the holistic approach of Catholicism. Absolutely, yes. Nothing is left out. If you need medicine, then medicine. If you need treatment, treatment. If you need counseling, counseling. If you need the sacraments, sacraments. If you just need someone to hold your hand, Catholic Church says get somebody to hold your hand. But it's a holistic approach to depression.
That's because God can work through all those things. Exactly.
Jonathan, thank you for being such a fine example, and God bless you in your journey. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Rose Sweet. She's almost on book number 4 in a Catholic Guide series. Catholic Guide to Women's Happiness was the first, and we're talking about happiness right now. The world is making many of us very, very unhappy. I am of the mind particularly that there is a particular cruelty towards young women in the way the world is constructed at the moment. Do you agree with me about that? I mean, it seems to me that
yes,
there's a conspiracy of driving young women mad with, you have to do everything, you have to be everything, you have to fix everything, nothing in the world is right, and you're responsible for it. And I don't think that, I mean, I know it's very difficult times for young men as well, but it just seems directed at young women. They all have to be fierce. They all have to be superstars. It just seems cruel.
It is cruel, and there's so many layers of what went into that to where we are at this place, and the removal of faith, you know, in the schools and really in some of the churches and in the home, and also the absent father. Oh, if there's not a strong man that I can depend on, then how can God be a strong man, strong that I can depend on? If there's not a strong man that I can depend on, then I guess I got to be the man. And that speaks to what you just said. I got to be fierce. I got to be tough. I'm in charge, and I'll never forget how shocked, I don't know, a couple decades ago, I was working with some of Mother Teresa's sisters, and they were telling me about the young women they were working with. And I said, well, you know, every young woman, you know, our dream is to get married. And they go, oh, no. I go, what? These young women don't want to get married at all. They want to have sex, they want to have children, and they want to have money that comes with that. But they don't want the strings, and they don't want the bother of a man who will get drunk or be unfaithful or treat them like dirt. And I was like, boing, 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 boing. Welcome to a brave new world. So yeah, that's what we've had for decades, and it's getting worse.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's getting worse. We've talked young men into being exploitive in their relationships with women, and we've talked women out of being relational at all. Just get out there and be fierce, girl. Maybe you could say something about the relationship with Christ then, women finding happiness in the relationship with Christ.
Well, and at the same time, and this, again, the graces of our baptism, that little flame of hope, that little flame of love is still there. And if we can help somebody, or even if it's us ourselves, go back to that and just fall on your knees and say, Lord, this world is horrible. Where do I go from here? And then wait and be silent and get up and have a Coke or whatever you want to do. But the Lord will speak to you. He will lead you. Somebody will call you. You'll hear something on the radio. Somebody will give you a book. There little glimmers of hope will come, but you have to want it. And this is my five steps, you know, to really being more intimate with Christ is you have to seek him. You have to desire him, and then you have to seek him. And he's already there. But that means you got to start like getting all this other stuff out of the way. You know, like ladies, if you want to find that pair of shoes that you just love and they're at the back of the closet, you're not going to find them until you start pushing aside all the other stuff. And that's what we have to do is turn off the electronics, go in our room by ourselves, get all the clutter out and call out to the Lord. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to feel your presence. I want you. And I don't even know what that means, Lord. But please hear my cry, and he will. You know, that was a complex question, and we can't answer it adequately, but first desire it, then seek it, and call on him, and he will answer.
That I have found to be true. And I the older I get, the more confidence I have in just saying that. You want the Lord? Tell the Lord you want him. And be insistent and persistent, because he does not say no to that.
No, he doesn't. And the words don't matter as much as the desire in your heart. And it could be a frustrating, angry, you know, you can go to him with the stink of your negative emotions, and he still loves you. He still loves you, and he will respond. He might have to wait till you settle down a little bit. He's had to do that with me. But, you know, when you quiet yourself and take a deep breath, you'll get the answer. And guess what? The Catholic answer. We have the answers. The Catholic Church, we have what everybody wants for happiness. But it's such a hard sell sometimes.
It is a hard sell, because there's a lot of other stuff that our attention gets turned to, as you've been saying, Rose. The number's 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet is our guest. We got to take one more break. We'll be right back with more Rose and your calls right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Rose Sweet is our guest, and we're talking about finding happiness. We asked Rose about women finding happiness because she wrote a book called The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness, but it turns out it's a trick. The book is for men and women. It's just that men don't buy books. That's actually true. Any publisher will tell you that. If you don't market the book to women, it ain't going to sell.
I know. Oh, well. There's nothing new under the sun, though. I don't think it's any big surprise. So did you have another question that you wanted to ask me?
I did, but I want to get to Anne because I don't want to keep her. Is that all right if I go back to the phone? You feel okay?
Yes.
All right. Anne in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, you are up next with Rose Sweet. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I was telling the call screener, I'm married to a man for over 40 years, and I came from an abusive dad, and so consequently, the first part of our marriage, I think Ron just got used to just kind of being able to tell me what to do and what I wanted and what I needed, and he's a take-charge kind of person. And so now I'm in a place in my life, I'm in my 60s, and I don't want him telling me what I need anymore. I'm able to say that for myself. And I just don't know how to assert myself and say that to him without him coming down on me. And he does. If I, you know, say, this, you're being too rough on me, and he doesn't want to hear that. And so I don't know how to change the direction of the conversation to get him to listen.
And just, I want a clarification before I send it to Rose. Are we talking about physical abuse, or we're talking about a person who comes down in a verbal way on you?
In a verbal way.
Got it. Okay. Rose, can you help Anne?
Sometimes the verbal can be as harmful and painful as the physical. Yeah. Hi, Anne. Well, there are a lot of communication techniques that could help. First, I just wanted to affirm you. Good for you, girl. And I believe you have the natural phlegmatic temperament that marries this hard-driving other opposite. And so you're amiable and you go along with things, but you're at a point you've had it. You've taken too much, and that has to stop. The beautiful thing about you is by your nature, you will be calm and steady and persistent in letting him know what you need. And I'm going to give you one little tip that helped me a long time ago. Instead of saying, you're being too rough, and get rid of the word you and use the word I. I feel overwhelmed and not valued and not respected when you talk to me that way. Can you please stop? So now you've done two things. You've said, this is about me, and then you've added what you would like him to do. Can you please stop? Now, when you try to change the dance in a long pattern like this, you're going to get some pushback. But with a good Catholic coach, which is what I do, I help people through these kind of things and how to expect when they come back at you to try to control you again, how to just say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't talk about it right now. Let's give ourselves 10 minutes, or let's talk about it in the morning. You have to go into a place of your nice, steady, strong control, and you have to have kind of a plan and a method. But there are ways to help you do exactly what you want to do, because what you're doing is calling him to love you. And you can even say that sometimes, honey, I want to feel more love from you, and I want to help you do that because I know you love me and I know you want to love me, right? So that's one little tip. Change the yous to I statements. Does that help?
It does. And I don't know if there's one of your books or if there's something that you could lead me to maybe get more in the practice of that.
Well, you know what? Here, I can't. There's a lot of them, but why don't you email me, rose@rosesweet.com, or just go to my website, rosesweet.com, and use the contact page. Tell me that you were the caller and that you're looking for more books or sources to help you with that, and I will totally send them to you.
Okay, Anne?
Perfect.
Thanks for the call, Anne. It's great to get to speak with you.
wow, that's really cool. And I hope you will reach out to Rose and send her that email. Rose, now everybody's calling and there's only a short time left, so I'm going to just keep going to the callers.
Okay,
all right,
go.
Let's go to Joy in Kansas, watching on YouTube Live. Hi, Joy, you got a question for Rose?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
Rose, can you just please speak about girls like me who, like, you know, grew up without a dad, and then I feel like, you know, I'm strong, I can do this by myself and everything. I have a good relationship with Jesus, so I'm good. But later on, you know, I figured out, yeah, I do have father issues because, like, I don't like having arguments with my husband. It kind of feels like he doesn't love me. We fight even about little things. So,
thanks, Joy.
Joy, you know, the book I'm writing right now, and there are other books out there, on temperaments. It sounds, again, our temperament, it really influences the way we interact with others. And you are strong, but you're strong in your own unique way. And maybe he's more dominant and more assertive. But you can still be strong. And I am the temperament that likes to argue. I like to be right. I like to solve problems. I like to fix everything. And sometimes when I get upset, I'm not really upset at the person. I just have what they call a choleric temperament. But that can shut people like you down. They can feel overwhelmed and bombarded and afraid even. Not that they're weak and pathetic, but it's just too much. So understanding that sometimes can help, understanding temperaments. And then also understanding, like the caller before you, Anne, to say to your husband, I would like to ask you if you could do something for me. I feel this way when you this, and I need a little more of this. And just engage in some dialogue with him. We don't know how to love each other. Let's just face it. And that's the beautiful thing about our Catholic faith, is that even if we go to scripture, we can find instances of Jesus being strong and assertive, but very patient and quiet and gentle as well. So you want to find somebody, a therapist or a coach or a good book that can help you draw on the way that Jesus loved his bride.
Okay,
Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry I couldn't give more, Joy.
Well, I feel like for a lot of women, and I'm sure that in many instances, my wife, Missy, as well, the husband is the problem, or at least presents as the problem. So, do you see what I'm saying? So, don't laugh at me, Rose. Do you have a kind of general advice you give to women as far as finding happiness with the husband they have?
Yes. The husband may have some things, some issues and things that are not good that need to change, but ultimately the problem is you and your response. We women and men too, we both need to stop blaming the other person for the unhappiness. And that doesn't mean that they can just continue to hit us or cheat on us or spend all our money. That's another issue. But how we respond, we have to remember, we have control over our response. A lot of times nobody's taught us how to do that, though. Here's how to set a boundary, and then how to enforce it. I mean, that's a basic thing that a lot of people just don't know how to do. You can't talk to me that way, honey. Okay, that's fine to say that to your husband, but what if he still does? Then what do you do? How do you enforce that boundary appropriately? So really the answer to misery and unhappiness for women is pulling back and examining yourself, your own weaknesses, your own strengths, asking for God's grace, and finding someone to teach you new and different ways to get out of those old cycles.
Becky in Oregon, next. I'm just going quickly now because I do want people to get a chance to talk with you, Rose. Becky listening on Modern Day Radio. Becky, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, it's not a question. It's just a comment.
Okay.
The only thing that I resist in this whole conversation is the word happiness. I haven't been happy since I was probably about 5 or 6. And it wasn't until I realized that it was just almost an unattainable goal to be that happy way from when I felt as a child. And to when I started being contented was the big changing point for me. I was wondering how you felt about that.
That's a great comment, and thank you, Becky. Contented means that you have accepted the reality of something. And so happiness is a fruit of that. Remember, the way we think and the way we see and perceive things can set us up to be happy or unhappy. So I'm really, really happy. I'm beyond content when I get a big paycheck. So contentment is one of the forms of being happy, of accepting reality, of having a joy-filled life, of knowing that heaven is our home and that this doesn't have to be and can't ever be the perfect place. But I love that you brought up the word contentment, because that definitely is a fruit of acceptance and a lubricant to joy and happiness.
What do you think, Becky?
I that's a very, very good point. And I understand about the word joy, but the happy, I've just known too many women that fight to gain that. And I just think they're wasting their time and their energy. Now, the word joy, I like that word. The other one I just think
Okay, you know, and I'm so glad you brought this up, because I write about this in my book. In scripture, there's no difference between the word happiness and joy. It's used interchangeably. And in the Christian world, sometimes we've said happiness is shallow and fleeting and worldly, but joy is of the Lord. In reality, that's setting all the other small beauties of and happiness that God wants us to have as something bad. That really, and this is what we talked about at the top of the hour. What it is really is happiness and joy at lower levels. The ice cream, the cute jeans, whatever, those low levels, they're good, but they can't satisfy on the deep level. And it sounds like you've been saying that women who are looking for happiness on the deep level are looking in the wrong places. It's the highest levels of joy, higher levels of happiness. The higher we go, the closer to God we are. The closer we get to him, the more enduring our happiness is. And you're right. For many people who've had bad childhoods and bad experiences and have never been authentically loved, the feeling of deep happiness and joy is sometimes unattainable in their mind. And we need to be sensitive to that.
Yeah. Becky, thanks so much for the call. There is kind of an advertiser's version of happiness that I do think that, like, I remember as a young person finally figuring out that trying to have a great time on New Year's Eve inevitably made New Year's Eve miserable. Do you see what I'm saying? That there's a certain way in which, you know, being
well.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this. You didn't have a great New Year's Eve because you tried and somehow it was left you unsatisfied, right?
Right.
I, on the other hand, had the most fabulous New Year's Eve in my life, and I'll never forget it. So it's not the search for happiness. It's how we think and what we're expecting and how we're setting ourselves up. And I think that's what you're saying, Cy, right? That if you blow it, like, so in other words, I'm going to feel this euphoric, awesome, intense happiness.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Only deep relationships, only the sacraments, the higher you go, that's where you're going to get that. We're looking for the deep stuff in the shallow pool.
That's it, Rose line. Sweet. Thank you very much, Rose Sweet. The aptly named Rose Sweet, you can find her at rosesweet.com. Her books are available. She's got a bunch of books, but the ones we've been talking about, the Catholic Woman's Guide to books, Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness. Help me out, Rose. Catholic Woman's Guide to
Romance.
Romance.
Relationships.
Relationship and the new
relationship.
One.
Temperaments.
Okay. All available. Well, the last one almost available from Tan Books. Thanks very much, Rose. It's always great to have you.
Thanks, guys.
And tomorrow, we'll do it all again, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.